We'll do a little golf with our great friend Chris Williams, who sits on the city's Golf Hall of Fame committee and the golf committee for everything else. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
Doing very well. How about you?
You know what? When it's 79 and we're not even the halfway point of April yet, and it was 81 yesterday, I'm great. It's Big Show Friday. The sun is out. It's golf season. The Masters was last week, so the major season is going on. You've got big golf news. You were at the Masters last week, and we got a million things to do with you today. And you just had a birthday. When was your birthday? When was the official day for your birthday?
It was March 13th. So it's
well, I was on spring break, so I missed it. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't want to ask how old you are because I can't hear anyhow because I'm too old. You young kids and all the fun stuff you're doing. Let's talk about local golf because, as we know, driving by Cascades or the Country Club or anything else, we've seen a ton of people out this week. When the weather turns nice, it's a lot better than dealing with half inches of rain here and an inch of rain there and everything else. The play is up and ready to go and, well, around the corner, not here in April, but getting ready for May, you guys at the city have, another big event coming up. We talked about it last year, and we're back again for, is this the third annual, fourth annual? Where are we at?
This is the fourth annual, so, yeah, speaking about golf, I just drove by Cascades, and it is packed. It's exactly what you want to see on a Friday afternoon. It's ideal conditions, so... But, yeah, we are doing our annual City Golf Hall of Fame scramble again this year. So myself and those that sit on the Hall of Fame committee, which are many of the active members that are still here in Bloomington, of course, our Hall of Fame inductees and those in the Hall of Fame are kind of spread all across the country. We have people in Montana and we have people in the South and all over. But for those of us here in Bloomington, our goal is to really two things. One, to raise awareness because we are coming up on the 95th annual City Golf Tournament, which is quite something to celebrate, continuing that 95th consecutive year of doing it. But we also use it to raise funds to kind of offset costs that we have for tournaments itself, the trophies, the extras that we try to provide for the entrance, the t-shirts, you know, the whole works, and we try to make it an inviting, fun tournament for everybody to play in. So that's really the big thing that we try to do with this scramble, which will be on Sunday, May 21st at Cascades.
And the scramble is open to anybody. It is really more of a celebration. Sure, there's going to be prizes and things given away, but you're really targeting everybody. This just isn't perhaps the hardcore you sign up for the city. Well, this is just, hey, it's golf season. It's getting ready to start. Let's all celebrate together.
Yeah, it's an open bring your own team, 4-person scramble. So you have so many different types of teams, the people that want to bring the best team and win it, and the people that just want to enjoy around with three friends. So it's a little bit for everybody, and we have a good time, and we have really good information about the city tournament's history on every tee box. We try to give them a little bit about the history of the course, the history of the tournament. Familiar faces, familiar pictures that people who've been around the tournament for years will know, and also getting those people. And one of the things I remember from last year is we had several teams of people that had very little knowledge of the city tournament. We were able to kind of get them more exposure to it, and they ended up playing in the tournament for the first time, which is always something that we're looking forward to.
Yeah, the educational angle of this is great because when we talk about the 95th City Golf Tournament, which that's coming up later, we'll talk about qualifying and when we're going to play match play and all that here in just a few minutes. But who else is in your neighborhood when we talk about 95 City Golf Tournaments in 95 years? I wouldn't guess there's a ton of cities in the state that have that that are bragging about that length and longevity of an event.
Yeah, I've done some pretty extensive research on it, and I've not been able to find any tournament of any kind, whether it's stroke play or match play, in the state of Indiana that has run 95 straight years. And the biggest reason is because you had a lot of tournaments that were interrupted during World War II, and that includes the Indiana State Amateur. I would say without a doubt that it's the oldest city tournament in the state of Indiana, the oldest match play tournament in the state of Indiana, if not one of the oldest in the Midwest. And so the fact that we've had the longevity and we've had, like everything, we've had bumps along the way and ups and downs and participation, but it's been holding strong because we have a core group of people that care about it and want to continue to see it thrive as much as we can.
Chris Williams is our guest. He sits on the Bloomington City Golf Tournament's Hall of Fame Committee. And as we obviously get closer and closer to the season kicking off, have you been out? Have you been playing recently? You just told me Cascades is packed. Any big changes there for 2023? Or are we just getting back into the season right now to check it all out?
I have not swung a club. Well, I take that back. We stopped. On the way down to the Masters, we stopped in Knoxville and went to Top Golf. That's the extent of my golf since October of last fall. So it's with so much going on extracurricular-wise, as you know, with your kids, it's just not been convenient at the moment, but that's okay. You know, that's part of the deal. So
we'll talk about the Masters here in a second, but getting everybody ready for the scramble. Cascades, are we done with all the renovations over there, Chris? We know the Zoysia Fairways was the big project. We know the clubhouse is done. Is it just time to play golf and have a great golf season?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, things are settling in. And, you know, one of the, actually, something I noticed, they put new flags on the pins. They're white and green checkered, and it was kind of a neat theme with Masters week last week. So they're going to keep those going through the rest of the season, which was a nice change. And yeah, I mean, there's been some new leadership down there. They have a new, Jason Sims was elevated to manager of the entire course and head pro. And so we got some new changes. You know, obviously we're not directly affiliated with Cascades, but it's nice to see the continuation of leadership there. And yeah, things are rolling at Cascades, and it's packed, and people are out playing, and things are good.
So 27 holes of fun. Now, when we talk about the scramble that's coming up on May 21st, Sunday, shotgun start, how many teams are you looking for, and what is going to be the freight on the day? What does that include? Let everybody know what they've got to save their pennies for come May.
Sure. We really don't have a cap on the team. Our sweet spot would be somewhere around 25, 27 teams. Biggest thing we don't want to do is have people out there for 5 hours. You know, in a ideal situation, it's a 4 hours, 4 hour and 15-minute scramble. And we will, it's a 260 for each team, so it breaks down to 65 per person. Carts, green fees, hole prizes, drinks, food, the works afterwards. We'll have a silent auction. In addition, that will have golf-related, IU-related items. So it's a little bit of everything and providing a little bit of everything for anyone. And, you know, I know that if you're a part of Rick Shear's golf community and in his email, that was all sent out. But you can get information forms at Cascades Golf Course. You could also email. The email address that we use is just btowncitygolf. Exactly as it sounds, at gmail.com, and then we can answer any questions and send out any information that needs to be sent to anyone that's interested.
And the fun part is just get involved. Figure out a way to do it. Figure out a way to get in there. Again, try it out, have some fun, see Cascades, and again, spread the word. You might not be a golfer, but you might know somebody that is, and we will help remind you of this as Chris will be joining us throughout the spring and the summer as he is our golf insider here locally. Well, we can't talk to you, and we know the kickoff event, May 21st, is the scramble, but we have to plant the seed for the city tournament as well. You just mentioned how busy you are with your family and your kids, and I'm the same exact way, but we'd like to have the younger generation getting back to the links. I know there's programs at Cascades for kids to get involved with, but let's talk about who can play in the city tournament and who would you like to see fill those spots come June.
Yeah, we have pretty much any kind of flight for any player at any skill level and any age. A couple areas that we've been kind of hoping to kind of see resurge is the junior golf age and the women's divisions. We've kind of seen a little bit of a fall off in the last couple years in those divisions. We actually, unfortunately, had our first year without any junior flight since 1952, if I'm not mistaken. So it was kind of unprecedented, but we're hoping to rebound. We know that the high school teams around are aware of it. There's also quite a bit of a junior golf presence. Junior Panthers down at the country club has presence, and I know that Harrison Carmichael at Bloomington North is encouraging middle schoolers and grade schoolers to get more involved. So there is a push for more of a presence with junior golf, and we're just getting the word out. We'd like to see the younger generations get there. So that would really be the biggest for me is to get the juniors more involved and to get more women who are interested in playing in the tournament.
So get out there and sign up. Now, the qualifying process sounds, it's not as complicated as it feels. Tell me how it's going to work come June.
Yeah, so the traditional kickoff, which would be the championship flight qualifiers, is the last weekend in June. And then obviously there's the break for July 4th, and then you're going to have two straight weekends. If a participant makes it all the way to the finals, they may play both weekends. They may not, depending on the flights, but you're talking about really just a three-weekend commitment. It's been shortened down to when it was four. But you can sign up at Cascades at the Pro Shop. You pay your entry fee. If you're not interested in doing a championship flight division, which would require you to do set tee times on that last weekend in June, you do a qualifying round, you have someone attest or witness your score, you submit it, and then you will be notified of when your tee time is for the opening weekend, which will be that second weekend in July.
And the other great part of this is you haven't mentioned the most important day in July yet, because the 4th of July, this kind of avoids all of that, doesn't it?
Yeah, so that's, I believe the 1st of July is a Saturday, so anything around that weekend, which obviously is a big weekend in the summer for families, we don't do anything on that weekend, so we can have people still enjoy the 4th, enjoy the time with families around that weekend, and it's actually a nice break, and then people can kind of build up. And we always get really excited, whether you're participating or if you're just involved in organizing the tournament. That first official kickoff weekend there's a lot of buzz at the course, and it's, like I said, it's a big thing of excitement for those people who have played it for many years, and we're hoping that for the first timers, they feel that same excitement as well.
Chris Williams is our guest. He sits on the City Golf Committee, the Hall of Fame Committee, the Bloomington City Golf Tournament. And speaking of Hall of Famers, do you have you made your decision, your committee, on who will be inducted coming up this year?
Well, as a matter of fact, we are in the process of the nominations. So we kind of have gone through the entire list of champions that we have. And we've kind of evaluated them by different criterias, and we're going to be sending out some information to our Hall of Fame members, and we're going to be doing some balloting, and we will have hopefully name or names within the next few weeks. That's the goal.
Excellent. And you can see those names where? Cascades Golf Course has them up and up on the wall?
Yeah, so the wall is in the Pro Shop, was put up last year. It kind of still reflects the Hall of Fame inductees that we had at the old setup, at the old building, and we're going to be adding to that. We're going to be doing some updating because we do have a few in the last couple of years that still need to go up. But yeah, everything through 2018 is there, and we're making the new plaques that for the last couple of years as we speak. So we'll be updating that this summer.
Very, very cool. So yes, the living, breathing Hall of Fame part of that. Very fun. With Chris Williams as we talk golf here on an afternoon. So number one, May 21st will be the Bloomington City Golf Scramble, open to anybody, $65 a person, teams of four, you can do the math, $260. Shotgun start, go ahead and pick up a entry form. You can do that. Why don't you go to Facebook? Who isn't on Facebook these days? Why don't you go to Facebook and put in the search bar the Bloomington City Golf Tournament and join the thread? You can see all the golf news that pops up. Chris puts a bunch of cool old pictures in there, results when the tournaments get started, and you can be on the latest breaking news page of that. They'll let you in. It's a public group. That's a great way to get involved and spread it, share it, and have some fun with it as well. And then we will get into the qualifying, as Chris mentioned there, the latter days of June. We'll do that, and then we'll play a little golf in July. Heads up, mano a mano, the 95th City Golf Tournament will get started here before we know it. Now, you were at another famous golf tournament. Just to put things in perspective, the 87th Masters Tournament has just concluded. So yeah, we're older than the Masters. That's kind of mind blowing just to think about.
It is. It is. It's something that we reflect upon a lot. And the interesting thing is, in talking about when it originated in 1929, it also was when we had an exhibition at Cascades to kind of highlight the new course that featured the pro of the day in Walter Hagen and Horton Smith, who actually won the first Masters tournament. So that's kind of a cool connection that we have there.
Fantastic
with our course.
History. Fantastic. Fantastic. And the 87th Masters tournament, you and your son and John Decker and his son, you guys had a chance to be on the grounds. Tell everybody when you arrived at Augusta National, and I will take you minute by minute through your day.
So we got there Monday. We followed the good advice that several people have suggested, which was you get there as early as you can. We were parked at 6:30, walked to the entrance, which we were on the north side off Washington Road. So we passed John Daly in his his positioning.
His annual position. That's exactly right.
Annual positioning. That's right. And we got in line. Doors opened at 7. Very smooth process. It actually quite liberating not taking your phone in, which was something. Yeah. So I had to dig out our old camera.
Let me stop you there yeah. Because people think, sure. Oh, the Masters, it's this. I see it on TV. It's all of this. Remind everybody how much it was to park.
Nothing.
Free.
It was absolutely free. Yeah.
And they have people out there. It's not like they open a cow pasture and say, you know, go ahead. You know,
this is not like the old days of Deer Creek where you just have to find whatever you can, and it's all every man for themselves.
Oh yeah, or the Indy 500 on the Speedway side. No. It's well organized. Yeah. What time did you get in line? Let me do this. Let's go backwards. Where did you guys stay?
We stayed in Columbia.
That's where we stayed. Smooth, all right.
Yeah, it was a smooth 1 hour drive.
Totally.
You weren't dealing with the price hikes like you would in Aiken or in Augusta, which again, you get it. It's like a football weekend in Bloomington, or it's basketball or whatever.
Graduation,
where you take advantage. Exactly. So hour drive, parked, got in line, 7 o'clock. It's kind of like that rope drop feeling if you go to Disney, where it's just kind of like the anticipation's there, and you know you're near the front. You go through security, the works, and then we went straight to
merch.
The merch. Yep. You get in there, it's it was like a 15-minute wait, but it wasn't bad because later in the day, you're talking 2 hours, some people were saying.
The reason you go to the merch tent first, yep, is two reasons. Number one, you go there so you can take it, either put it in a locker or take it back to your car. Number two, when you're waiting at that point of the day, you're so excited, you don't care how long you wait. You're not sunburnt, sure, you're not hungry, you're not tired. So that's exactly, yep, what we did. So that's, you're a smart, smart man.
Yeah, got in there, bought too much stuff as per usual. You know, you find, oh, you can find literally everything that the Masters logo could be connected with, which there were some very interesting things you could connect it with. But you buy your stuff, and I took all the bags back to the car. They let you back in one time and unloaded everything. And then the focus was two things. The kids wanted autographs, and we wanted to see the entire course. John and Ryan had never seen the course. I had seen it a couple times before, but we wanted to walk the course. We wanted to see the players, and the kids wanted to get autographs. So it worked out well to get everything back in the car and then focus on the day.
Now, here's the other part of this story that if you have not been, and I've been twice, now you've been twice, so we should do it like, you know how the people like set up your Disney trips? We should do that for like people at the Masters. Here's how you...
I'm all for that.
Let's do it, because you're saying the exact same things that I did on a Monday in 2011. That was my Monday practice round. Here's why the practice rounds are better than the championship rounds. And people will say, are you crazy? Well, number one, there are no video boards on that course. You cannot see anything, right, that's happened. Number two, you can't look at your phone. So you can't go to Twitter and say, why are they roaring? Let me watch the video. No, you are completely in your own bubble tournament week, period. On Mondays, you are allowed to ask for autographs, and you are allowed to take pictures. If you go during, yep, the tournament days, you cannot do that. So that is a, right, huge People think, oh, man, I got practice. I would go to the practice 1,000 times before I went back. I went to a tournament round, round two, 2015, Jordan Spieth, when he blew the doors off the place. It was great. I saw him hit two shots. I saw him make a birdie, and then I wanted to go because I was with my brother, who had not seen the course before. We just couldn't follow Spieth all day. So I'm completely team practice round.
Well, and here's the other thing. To me, Monday and Tuesday, everybody kind of looks at Wednesday. Everybody's like, oh, a par three tournament. What people don't realize is that you're 9 and 10 rows deep. So you're taking all those people that are spread out on an 18-hole course, and you're jamming them in on a 9-hole course. And after that, at that point, after a certain time, the main course is closed because they're prepping for Thursday.
Correct.
So you're basically forced to go on the course, the par three course, which, again, is fun and all that, but 9 or 10 rows deep is not fun. And the great thing about Monday is, like you said, you can take your photos, you can walk anywhere, and you can see just about everything because they have the boards out to tell you, you know, who's on the range and who's on the course. But like you said, you hear something, you're completely out of the loop.
So you get to Golf Central when you get home.
Yeah. You don't have, and the other thing is, you don't have the little radios. Not like you can buy a radio at St. Andrews and listen to what's going on the front nine when you're stationed on number 13, or if you're at the PGA or the Ryder Cup. You don't have that ability. You are very much, it's old school all the way. And I can't stress enough the fact about the food. We got to talk about the food. I mean,
we will. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's why Monday is important. So if you ever hit the Masters lottery and think, oh, I'm not going to see competition. No.
Yep.
No, you've missed it. Did you walk the course forwards or backwards?
So we kind of did a little bit of both.
Smart.
We went front nine, took a break, went back and got in the autograph line right by there. And they're really good. You know, the priority is, you know, the kids. And not the adults, as it should be.
Right.
You know, I don't. Yeah, if 50-year-old guy is pushing his way through a bunch of kids, that's not what you want. So they were really good about. They had an area for the kids, 16 years and younger. You know, they were really nice about that. And so we walked the front nine, and then we would get autographs. We'd have food. We would do the back nine, and we'd do Amen Corner, and we would eat in that little village area that they have there. And you see everything. I mean, you got to see 10. A lot of people don't realize, and you don't want to walk back nine backwards because
what
happens is you're coming up 10, and that is, again, even and TV does not do justice on the undulation of the course, nor the undulation on the greens.
10T is one of the highest points on the property. 5 green and 10T are the two highest points. So you're exactly right. So that's good because some people get confused. The only good news about walking the course, quote unquote, backwards is where you start from, because you can avoid some of the crowds that want to walk it one through, whatever.
Oh, sure.
But like you said, there are right ways and wrong ways to do it. My favorite part of the course, which I learned on my Monday practice round, was the unbelievable acreage of nothing but perfect ryegrass off of 9 green going, I guess that would be southwest, where it's just a field of nothing but perfect grass. I had lunch there that afternoon. Just sat down with my sandwich and said, this is great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and again, it's not like it's a secret that everything at the course is perfect. There's nothing out of place. There's no weeds. It just really is that green in real life. It's just you're adding the undulation. You're adding the pine straw that is obviously in perfect position. You know, everything is, there's nothing out of place. It is, you know, and again, the thing that makes it so unique is that there's really not rough. The second cut is maybe barely a half a cut in the first cut.
1.375 inches.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, you have the hazards of the course. You have the greens. You have to know the knowledge. They're lightning fast and all that. But from a standpoint of, you know, specific hazards, the course is in front of you. You know exactly what's going to happen. It's not like, you know, you have hidden pot bunkers or anything like that. It's everything's in front of you. You know exactly what you see is what you get.
The biggest defense at Augusta National are the green complexes. There's no way, shape, or around that. And that's the other part on TV you don't see until the ball starts running away if you do not hit the proper quadrant of where the pin is located. But it's the white sand. unbelievable. The optics. Did you see any birds? No, you never see birds there. You hear them. You never see them. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
No squirrels. Yeah. No pigeons gobbling for your food when you're sitting out there. It's a very odd in that stretch, but it is absolutely beautiful. You want to talk about food? Let's talk about food. I bet you saw the great bit during the tournament when Michael Collins went in with $20 ESPN caddy and tried to get everything he wanted to get. And it's amazing what you can get because they get you on the merchandise, not on the parking, not on the tickets, not on the food or drinks. It's the merch, and that's fine. Yep. They don't need your money. They told Martha Burke and her crew that a couple years ago. No, we don't need commercials. We'll do it ourselves. But keeping here's what people don't understand until you try it. Is the quality that comes with the price. There's an old joke in the restaurant business, Chris. You know, why don't you order an $8 steak? Well, then you taste it and you remember why you don't order an $8 steak. But it's totally, it's the complete opposite there.
Yeah. And again, it's really like you're going back in time. You would swear that this is like 1994 prices. But again, you got your pimento cheese sandwich, which is kind of like the staple. You have your egg salad. But to me, the breakfast food is the best there. You have your breakfast, your egg sandwich, and they have like a chicken biscuit sandwich, and it's going to cost you like $2.50 per item. So, you know, the whole idea of you can get everything on the menu for under X amount of money.
$66.
It's a reality. Yeah, yeah. And you have the cups. The cups are great. They have the new Crow's Nest cup, which is symbolic of where the amateurs stay. It's like the tradition, like dormitory style, where the amateurs stay on their first visit to Augusta National, which is above the clubhouse. That was cool. And again, it's just like, and it's so efficient. Like, there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of workers that are there, and it's so efficient. And you wonder why other tournaments don't take note of this, why the PGA, in my opinion, which is just a travesty of a tournament to go to because the food is so expensive and it takes forever to get it and stay in line. They need to take more of a lead from what Augusta does because it is truly a world-class event from everything from top down to bottom. And even the merchandise, you know, they're going to get you there. And there's some stats that were out there about they were going to do $70 million in sales over the course of the week.
Yeah.
But it's efficient, but it's not as crazy as you think because what happens is when stuff gets on the secondary market and everything's inflated times whatever – that's when things are really like eye opening. But deep down, it's not as crazy as what you would expect overall.
Well, that's an interesting point because you cannot go to the master shop online and buy what you want. They don't do that. They don't want your money.
Yep.
They have enough money. Yep. The other thing about the PGA, I get where you're going there. And by the way, tickets are on sale for Valhalla 2024 starting in June. Don't let that slide underneath you. That's about as close as we get around here. The other part is the PGA of America has got to pay for other stuff. The Masters doesn't. They have drive chip.
That's true.
They have the one course. They have their 300 members or 100 members, 28 members, whatever. They don't have to pay for anything. Money means nothing, but that $14 beer at the PGA Championship is going to serve. That has to trickle down at one point. But no, $1.50 for an egg salad sandwich, $1.50 for a pimento cheese sandwich, and the quality is delicious. The club sandwich is what, $3? Barbecue's $3.
Yeah.
Did you have the famous peach Georgia peach ice cream sandwich?
I was not digging the ice cream that day partly because it was cool. It was overcast. It was honestly perfect conditions out there. I think it was about 64, 65 degrees. So I had some refreshing beverages and I just kind of took it all in. So we did not indulge in the ice cream. We kind of stuck to the chocolate chip cookies were popular among our group and the sandwiches.
The Crow's Nest beverage was that like a hazy IPA? What were we doing there?
It was like a Hefeweizen. So
okay.
It was a little bit kind of like a Blue Moon-esque. It was a local brewery. It was good. I had one because I wanted the cup. And, you know, and for those people that are not aware about the cup thing, the cups are part of the deal because I still have my cups from 2010, and they've been through the dishwasher about 70,000 times, and they're still holding strong.
And I have my 2011 cups as well.
There you go.
No liquor. That's the only thing that they've added wine in the last few years, but there is no booze unless you are a member of the club, and they have these little discreet houses that are hidden behind the trees in the Brickman's Club. That is only for those who dare to dream of such things. Now, did you see what they're going to do when you were there on Washington Road? They are going to open a huge fan center just across the street. Was that under construction yet?
Honestly, I did not see it because when we got there early enough, it was still kind of sun rising. And when we left,
dark.
You know, 28,000 steps in, I was kind of in a daze, just focusing on the road in front of me. So I may have missed it, honestly. But I love that, and I love the announcement that they made about their devotion and their commitment to public golf and the municipal course there that actually predates Augusta National. So I was
what's that course called? It's got a fancy name. It's called the something, the match, the snap, the crack, the pop, the something.
Something like that. But I know it's like it predates it by a good 6 or 7 years. I can't remember the name. But, yeah, that was they're trying to make it. And I know it's tied to with one of the golf superintendent collegiate programs in the area, so that's a no-brainer to get those people more hands-on experience. So
Chris Williams is our guest. The Masters, the 87th edition, the Monday practice round, a little bit less formal than tournament days. You don't have to worry about being completely quiet, and you can walk up and down the hills. And obviously the course has had a few changes since you've been there and I've been there last. Obviously, the biggest one talked about was the new tee box on 13. Did you bring your binoculars and look down the chute the other direction?
It was quite interesting, the angle, because, you know, especially on that Saturday, you know, the driving average was so low that there was some, I mean, that just played into exactly what may have probably not been the full intention, but you know, you didn't have anybody braving a second shot there, and you were hitting in the layup zone and getting your wedge up there and luckily making your four or five and getting out of there. But it's quite interesting to see, you know, just how far to the left you really have to play to try to cut the corner to have any chance, unless it's perfect conditions. And Sunday kind of alluded to that, but the ability to hit it in too, it's a little bit more daunting, but you know, I didn't hear a whole lot of controversy among the patronage there, but it was definitely different. So
when it plays downwind, it'll play fine. When Mother Nature disagrees, yeah, it'll play into the wind, and that will make it more of a strategic shot. So 13's new tee box, they added what? They added yards on 5 a few years before that. They added a new shift in tee box on 15 for 2022 that really cut down on eagles and everything else. That was also right. Mother Nature's problem, because when 13 and 15 are into the wind, that's not how they're supposed to play. They're supposed to play downwind prevailing. That wasn't the case, and that's why perhaps the scoring wasn't as low. Well, it was when the wind was prevailing, but it wasn't on Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
John Rahm, a fitting champion, and a great well, I'm glad you guys had a great time as well. But you get back and you get to watch it. Isn't it fun just to relive? Oh, remember when we stood there? And remember when we were over there? That's And that's why the Masters is special. The only other course you can really kind of put in that conversation, and it's going to need a couple more years, when you watch the Players' Championship, it's the same course every year, and you kind of get the closing holes and the big holes there. Now, no one remembers what number 7 is at the Players, but you know what it is at the Masters, just because it's the same course time and time again. So that it's just amazing how they run things. It's amazing how clean and beautiful and pristine it is. And the golf is pretty darn good, too.
Yep. All in all, can't say enough, and hoping to go back very soon.
Get in the lottery, folks. It's one per household, but make sure your entire clan. If you're keeping score at home, and we suggest that you do, yes, Chris Williams in the last 9 months has gone to the Old Course at St. Andrews and the Augusta National Golf Club. That's pretty good living there, buddy.
Not bad. It's a lot of luck and a lot of friends that get picked for fun moments, and lucky enough to be tagging along with them. That's what it comes down to.
Well, I'm going to let you get out of here, and I told everybody I would talk about your new job. I'm going to let you tease it, so when you come back, the next time we get together, we will start focusing on?
Well, I'm fortunate enough to be doing a side gig in addition to my teaching with IU Athletics, and kind of working on their sports memorabilia area to do some new visions of new exhibits in Hinkey and Cook Hall and other locations to continue to highlight the rich history of our program and across all sports. So it's something I'm really passionate about, something I'm very much invested in on a knowledge standpoint. And, and really excited. I've been kind of doing it since spring break, and I've been hitting the ground running, and just really looking forward to what we can do with it. So,
and I can't wait to have you tell the story here on our airwaves throughout the summertime and down the road. But we have a very proud athletics history, and you and I have had this conversation multiple times. Heck, your Twitter handle is at IU Artifacts. So if you want to follow along there and see what's going on, that's fantastic as well. But just as I've raved all week long about this great idea of Indiana football having a celebration of spring practice, spring football Saturday tomorrow, all of this great history doesn't need to be in a box in a room where no one can see it. I'm so happy that the folks at Indiana University have seen the light to tell these stories and share this history. How do you keep people entertained? How do you keep them connected? Well, this is how. I'm thrilled that you're going to be doing this.
Yeah, it was a good timing. Then kind of wrote the proposal out, went to the Kansas game, saw what Kansas had at Allen Fieldhouse, knew we could definitely do something like that, if not better. Our history is just as good as what they have at the University of Kansas. And I'm excited to, like I said, to continue to, we're going to tell good, great stories. We're going to highlight great teams, highlight great individuals, and really making sure that the alumni base and the fans can get as close to that as we can, and really, let them be aware of what the history of the program has to offer.